Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, we are still on the Mount of Olives where Christ ascended, where he told his apostles, where he told the Theotokos, the disciples, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." And the Kentuckian we sang, one of the hymns said, "If he is with us, no one can be against us." This means he is always with us because we are united to him. He shares our flesh and blood, and this is an unbreakable connection. He is always with us, and this is true. Even if you feel down in the dumps emotionally and frustrated and afraid from all that is taking place, whether you feel disgusted or angry or afraid or despondent, or you blame this side or you blame that side, the Lord is with us. Are we with Christ? That's what is an important question for us. And as Orthodox Christians, we have to not run away, but we have to see, experience, understand, and accept that our land is experiencing deep division and pain. Again and again and again. However it has come about, I'm not capable of analyzing any of that. But what I do know about is the judgment of God. If you read the scriptures, you know something about the judgment of God. And what you know about the judgment of God, it means that God sets things right. He brings justice to his creation. God's judgment is always upon us. If we judge ourselves, says St. Paul, then we will not be judged. God's judgment is upon us now and always. Can't we see that violence and brutality beget more violence and brutality and sin? In God's judgment, he has allowed this to come upon us because of our iniquity and our division and our sin and brutality, corporately as a nation. Maybe this person or that person has done nothing. But just as we share the same nature with Christ, he shares with us. We share a common human nature. All this becomes an alphabet of sins. I listed all the sins that I could think of from A to Z, and there are plenty of them. But if I started saying them, then someone would ask me, well, why did I leave off this one and I didn't do that one? The bishops of our church, the Orthodox Church in America, released a statement yesterday. I read just a little bit of it. "We, the members of the Holy Synod of Bishops of the Orthodox Church in America, mourn the tragic death of Mr. George Floyd on May 25th, 2020. We too have looked with horror at the footage of this episode and condemn the brutal actions that caused his violent death. We look to the civil authorities to bring justice. Let us be sensitive to those that feel they're afflicted and enter into that." I'll say something about that in a minute. No, I'll say something now. When we sin, when we see sin around us, when we see division and hatred and brutality, then we pray, and I don't mean, oh God, please help so-and-so. No, we pick up our prayer book We say the supplicatory candor, the Theotokos. We fast. I don't mean on Wednesdays and Fridays, but I mean we fast. We don't eat. We do prostrations. I don't mean two or three. As many as you can do. I mean tears, begging God to help us. Now, this isn't a lecture. It's a sermon. So I'll remind you about what I know. The sin of Cain in Genesis. God warned Cain. He said this, sin is crouching at your door. Grasp that image. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sin is mastering us. Orthodox Christians, we have said nothing and done nothing for our country, hardly at all. We're a little blip. These press releases, no one hears them because we've made no impact, because our faith is weak, because we have not lived the gospel the way the Lord has given it to his apostles and disciples. We have watered it down, and we end up blaming other people for all our problems rather than saying, Lord, this has come upon me for my sins. Sin is crouching at the door. If we are Christians, we're responsible for all and everyone. This is the teaching of St. Silouan of the Holy Mountain. And the wrath of God is coming upon us. What is the wrath of God? God is love and good and long-suffering, merciful. His wrath is when he lets the human anger and pettiness. He doesn't have any of that. But he lets us have our way when we go down that road and we don't turn to him. This is the wrath of God. He lets man go. He hands him over. He abandons him for maybe a little while. So we repent. If we don't repent, then our choice of evil multiplies. And the moral evils to which God has delivered the heart of heart appear to be very vices characteristic of our own times and days. You've seen the news. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon us and on thy world. Pray, my brethren, pray for our land. Pray for the people that feel aggrieved and abused and support them. If you don't have love from God, then you can't know how to support them. If we don't have love for God, we're hopeless after all we've been given in the Holy Church. What's our approach? Listen to the words of St. Cosmas the Aetolian, who lived his life under the repression and oppression of the Turkish Muslim authorities in Greece. He says this, even if we perform upon thousands of good works, my brethren, fasts, prayers, almsgiving, even if we shed our blood for Christ, we don't have these two loves, the love of God and the love of brethren, but on the contrary, have hatred and malice toward our brethren and blame them, all the good we have done is of the devil and we go to hell. But you say, we go to hell despite all the good we do because of a little hatred? Yes, my brethren. Because that hatred is the devil's poison. And just as when we put a little yeast in 100 pounds of flour, it is such power that it causes all the dough to rise, so it is with hatred. It transforms all the good we have done to a devil's poison. Through the prayers of St. Cosmas, Lord, help us. Our situation stands in stark, bitter, sorrowful contrast to the gospel we heard today, which is what I want to leave you with, which is about unity, which is about union in Jesus Christ. God becomes man so that we may become like God by grace, the divinity of Christ, equal in honor and divinity and essence with the Father, sharing our human nature. On this Sunday, the Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost, specifically, the church directs our mind to this great mystery, the mystery of piety. And we celebrate the 318 Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council who gathered in the city of Nicaea and ended their deliberations on May 20th, the year 325. Nicaea is now the city of İznik, Turkey, 50 miles outside of Istanbul. Nicaea is gone. The faith remains. This tells me that the fashion of this world and the things that are visible, don't gauge your life by them. They pass. It's the things that are invisible from God that aren't in flux, but are eternal. And we set our hope and our life on them. And I hope that when we recite the Creed in just a little while, that incredible thing that we've received from the 318 Fathers of Nicaea, it's been handed down to us, it's been given to us, that we live it. Do we struggle with it? Face the fears and the possible doubts. Confront them. Because our faith is not philosophy. It's not religious formula. As Father John Shedick said in a sermon on this gospel a few years ago, he said it wasn't a bunch of guys sitting in a room saying, now what do we believe? Let's think about that. No, not this, but that. None of that. It's not some secret gospel. It's not hazy, mysterious. It's not a secret religion. What was true for the apostles, what was true for the 318 fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, what was true for the martyrs, must be true for us too, is what the Savior said in prayer to the Father. I have manifested thy name unto the men, the apostles, whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This is what we have too. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. They believe that thou didst send me, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. How to summarize our salvation? God became man so that we may by grace become as God is. Anything less is not salvation. So beloved, walk on the straight and narrow way. Love God. Love your neighbor. Repent of the sins of our nations. You may not have done those sins, but we're united to one another. Seek peace. Pursue the glory of God. Pursue Christ. Walk on the way, the truth, and the life. This is what the church presents to us this day before the feast of Pentecost. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, to ages of ages. Amen.